Welcome back to Sportsline, and I am happy to be to tell you that I'm being joined by ESPN.com's Kevin Seifert, who writes the Inside Slant column for the website. Kevin, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me, James, and happy holiday.
Yeah, happy holiday to you. And you wrote this week about virtual reality, and you've written about it in the past as well, more from kind of the player perspective about how maybe in the future players can get almost these virtual reps through technology. But you wrote this week more towards how fans, how it could be suited more to fans. Can just talk a little bit about your column and how that might affect the NFL.
Yeah, some players are starting to use virtual reality. You know, quarterbacks can put on those visors and get sort of a lifelike rep, reading defenses or whatnot. And so that's getting a lot of attention this offseason, but that's kind of hidden what I think is really going to be the sea change that virtual reality brings. And that is, within a couple years, 2 to 5 years is what these people think. Somebody sitting at home will be able to wear either a visor or some version of a Google Glass type glasses and basically experience the game as if they were at the stadium.
That's a big jump from my 13-inch television I watched when I was growing up.
and this is not fans jumping into the TV because they're so angry at some officiating call. But So the difference is instead of seeing it in the one dimension of an HD TV, you're seeing it in 360-degree 3D dimensions, and that's because of the type of cameras that they put around the stadium, and then those cameras can rotate, and basically you put these visors on and you look around, and wherever you look, you're seeing a different part of the stadium. So the vision is that you'll be able to, choose your seat at the 50-yard line, or maybe you'll want to stand on the sideline with your home team. Although I think once people try that once, they won't like that too much, and you don't see nearly as much as you might think.
But exactly,
one day there could be a camera, on the quarterback's helmet that would give you the view of what the quarterback is seeing, and the idea is you'll be able to toggle back and forth using like an iPad type tablet to decide what view you want to see, and that's an entirely different experience and much cooler, I think, than you get just simply watching on TV. And these guys also have a vision that one day you could project the game in a hologram. And the example they used was Star Wars, the first Star Wars movie, where you're watching these guys, these monsters, play a chess-type game against each other in a hologram. And so the idea is you could actually project the game as the players as a hologram onto your coffee table or whatever. And so that's a little bit further down the line. But this certainly will be an option. They actually tested it in February at an NHL game at Levi Stadium. It was during the outdoor series.
Wow.
And so they've already tested it out, and they're getting a better idea of how it can work. And, the NFL, I'm sure, would be interested because you could charge, a premium. It wouldn't just be the regular cable fee that you're paying. You're paying a virtual reality premium to be able to do that. So it's a moneymaker for them as well. And you would imagine that given how popular video games are and virtual reality is already starting to become, there will be a big market for that. And so I guess we'll see if people really want to do it that way. But I have a feeling that once they experience that, it'll feel awfully literally flat to watch it on a regular TV.
And we're talking to Kevin Seifert, and you can read all of his Inside Slant columns on ESPN.com. And Kevin, the whole... And it doesn't seem, it's more than coincidence, it seems, as when they announce these suspensions late in the day of a holiday weekend. We call it in the business the news dump, but when four players are suspended, Antonio Gates among them, do you think it really serves a purpose of doing it, handling it this way?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in the old days, the philosophy was to, and this is still true probably in sports and especially in politics, to release bad news at a time when there either won't be a lot of media working or there won't be a lot of people paying attention, watching the news or reading the newspaper or nowadays on social media. And those times tend to be Friday afternoons in the summer or before a holiday. And so you know, eventually people are going to find out about that. I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're going to, if you didn't know right away yesterday, you know that you'll find out soon enough that Rolando McClain got suspended for 4 games. And it's not as if people will never find out, but.
Yeah, with Rolando McClain, it could be every week, so we just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You've had some experience.
Yes,
there.
Like I have. Probably,
most Cowboys fans were probably just thinking it was a matter of when there.
Right.
So I guess the idea is that there's less, you know, there's not going to be quite as much attention paid, at least, especially initially, and then people will move on to the next thing. And so that might, in fact, be true. And, you know, certainly it's annoying for media people or even, you know, I would imagine people who work for the team to have to deal with that on a Friday afternoon or a Thursday afternoon before a Friday holiday. And but I thought it was interesting yesterday how many, because they saved these, or it all coincidentally turned out there was 4 players suspended yesterday
right.
for various things, but it almost created an inadvertent consequence there of people thinking, well, there's, oh my God, I can't believe how many players are being suspended. There's some crisis. Why are so many NFL players, you know, smoking, you know, marijuana, or why are they using, you know, substances, you know, abusing substances? In reality, it was 4 guys. Each of them had their own particular story, and they didn't all happen at the same time, but it all got announced at the same time and created this impression that there's a crisis. And, you know, there's 90-man roster limits right now, so you have, would that be almost, you know 2,800-some
people, yeah.
Players on rosters, and only 4 of them got suspended yesterday. So it's not exactly a crisis, but I noticed Tony Dungy, among others, you know, tweeting about, you know, what's with all these guys getting suspended? Well, it just feels that way because they say it all happened during the news dump. So, you know, there's pros and cons to handling that. Eventually, we all will always find out who's going to be suspended and who isn't. And there's still a month left to hash through of dead time here before the training camp to hash through all those things. So I don't know. You know, I certainly understand from a strategy standpoint releasing bad news at a time when hopefully not a lot of people are finding out. But yesterday, I wonder if it didn't create a little bit of a more intense feeling of a crisis than if these suspensions that kind of just petered out as announcements over time as they happened.
Yeah, and we got about a minute left, Kevin, and wanted to touch on, you know, President Obama came out and said that, you know, the use of the Redskins name, if he was the owner of the football team, he would consider changing the name. What's kind of your reaction to that? I mean, a lot of people have put pressure on Daniel Snyder, and it really hasn't seemed like he's budged too much. What's kind of your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, the latest, I guess, is that his administration has told the Redskins that if they move the team to D.C. for a new stadium, they're not going to allow that stadium to be built if the name still stays Redskins. And that seemed to me like a good, you know, piece of policy, but it's also, you know, worth noting that the Redskins are a long way off from getting a new stadium and from starting that project, and Obama is very likely not going to be in office when that happens, so a little bit of a hollow policy push there. But yeah, and I don't know how much the President of the United States needs to weigh in on sports nicknames, but I do feel like he's in a position, especially now, to put on probably maybe more immediate pressure. You know, instead of saying, you know, tying it to the stadium, just tie it to, you know, human decency and common courtesy, and maybe we've seen a lot of things in the past few weeks from a social perspective move into areas that nobody ever thought would happen, and so. I think he's got a position now where he could probably put more immediate pressure than he is, rather than just tying it to a stadium. And we'll see if he feels like that's in his realm of responsibility or not.
Great. Well, thank you so much. That's Kevin Seifert. You can read all of his Inside Slant columns on ESPN.com. I really appreciate you taking the time on this holiday weekend.
No problem. Thanks for having me, James.
And you're listening to WBAL News Radio 1090.